As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
One first-class ticket to the Downton Abbey moving picture premiere.
Well, it's not really like first class. They're all kind of the same.
And so yet another brick is pulled from the wall.
I mean, if you want front row, I can...
No, no, I'm a good sailor.
All right, then your total is 14 bucks even.
How curious these phrases are. And how much is that in pounds?
Or like 10-something?
10 pounds? And not even for first class. Well, that's absurd.
If you want to argue, you can talk to my...
I never argue. I explain. Very well. Very well. Here you are.
All right, thank you. And here is your ticket for the May 20th weekend premiere.
What is the weekend?
Good morning, sweet world! And welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Tuesday, April 26th. At least I think it still is. I'm J.E. Skeets here in the Classic Factory. Alongside me, we got Trey Kirby.
Heyo.
Heyo. The international man of mystery, taking it to the max. Lee Ellis.
France.
And finally, the man making the magic happen. Super producer, JD.
Hello.
There he is, and here we are. Apologies to the stream team for the slow start here. What's going on, JD?
Well, yeah, I have no idea. No idea. A lot of restarting, a lot of buzzes, a lot of randomly being live without us knowing it. So,
a lot of frequencies, a lot of cha-cha-cha.
Yeah, a lot of cha-cha-cha, yeah. A lot of mic checks and stuff. So, anyways.
We're here.
We're here. Let's move on with our day.
Yeah, we're here. Tass is not, as you can see. He'll be taking in some other frequencies, John Legend frequencies in Vegas.
Would love to hear a John Legend sound check. Oh. You think he's hit the cha-cha-chas beforehand?
Sibilance.
Possibly. Subscribe, like, comment, share the show. We really appreciate it. As you can tell, we need all the support we can get here on YouTube. Email in your NBA questions to nodunks@theathletic.com. Keep those cues coming. And if you haven't got your No Dunks merch, go to nodunks.com, get all of your t-shirts. Later today, though, my God, it's like happening in 20 minutes, I feel like. We got to do No Breaks episode, TK and Graydon Gordian breaking down the race this past weekend in Italy. Things didn't go well for the Ferrari boys.
Oh, I wonder if Graydon will be walking into the factory with tears in his eyes today. We shall see.
Okay.
We shall see.
So that's No Breaks coming up around about 1 p.m. Eastern, I think, is the plan. Knock on wood. Graydon and TK here from the Classic Factory. No Breaks, its own separate YouTube feed and its own podcast feed. Okay. Let's get into the games from last night, shall we, Lili?
Why not? Let's do it.
Let's start with the East. We'll move to the West. The blowout there. Mavs taking care of the Jazz. And then we got some more awards news. But the Celtics complete the four-game sweep of the Nets, 116-112. Of all the series, this is the one that ends in a sweep. Amazing.
Yeah, very, very weird. Ever since Marlin won me Lollapalooza tickets at Game 3 of the Bulls series, I've had that Green Day song in my head.
Oh, yeah.
It's something unpredictable, but in the end is right. I hope you had the time of your life. I don't think the Nets had the time of their life.
No.
But good riddance to Brooklyn because they are swizzapped out of these playoffs. This one did turn into a real game of basketball late, I thought, in the fourth quarter. Nets finally showed a little bit of desperation, and Kevin Durant really broke through, scored 39.7 rebounds, 9 assists for KD. Finally looked like KD, took a whole bunch of shots, but you like to see him go out like that, being the KD that we're used to. Scored 12 in the fourth, and it really did seem like the Nets might have had a shot after Jason Tatum fouled out with about 3 minutes left. A dubious call.
Oh, God.
A dubious call. A box out foul.
Hey, someone fell down. Must be a foul.
If you go, what's
someone
Stassi's
fell.
Call?
Gotta be
if
a foul.
If you fall, you get the call.
That's right.
Dragic.
That was brutal. That was a bad call.
That was a weak one. That was a weak one. But Tatum was great, though he did foul out. And it didn't really matter. I mean, it kind of mattered. But the Celtics recovered and kept making plays. Nets cut this game to a one-point lead for Boston with about a minute left. Jaylen Brown gets to the rim, scores a layup. 22 seconds left. KD misses a free throw. That was weird to see. Would have cut the Boston lead to one again. So Celtics up two. After the missed free throw, Celtics run the ball down the court, get a layup at the rim. Marcus Smart misses it. But Al Horford's the first guy back right there for the tip-in to ice it. Really emblematic of the game and the series. The Celtics had more hustle, they had more grit, and everybody's on the same page. They're like, that's probably not a shot you're expecting Marcus Smart to take. But the advantage was there, so he took it. He was quicker to make a decision, to make a play, and then Al Horford was right there to back him up. So good performances by the stars from the Celtics. It was nice to see Kevin Durant have a good game in this one. Doesn't feel like it's his fault in this series, but not enough from the Nets. So weird that this is the only series that's done so far right now, since this looked like, this is basically a finals preview. Nope.
If you had lined up all 8 first-round series and said, put them in the order you think of most likely to least likely. This is at the end. It would have been. I mean, you had the Celtics winning in 5, so kudos to you for obviously calling the correct team winning, but a lot of people thought it would be. I mean, there were some competitive games, and, you know, if the Nets escape with game 1 in Boston, then who knows where it goes from there, but they just looked like the much better team. Just, obviously, they're starters, and then the guys coming and contributing off the bench as well.
I just felt that, and you saw it there last night, it took such effort for Kevin Durant just to get those shots off. Every switch that came was like just Grant Williams defended him well. Tatum defended him. Jaylen Brown. Horford came out. And you talk about that play at the end there with Al Horford. Look who's the oldest man on the court is basically down the other end hustling. Yep. You know, mm-hmm. Closeout game. They had the safety net of going home for game 5. Al Horford's like, nah, I want to close this out right now. And just before the Kevin Durant miss, Marcus Smart made what I thought originally was a dumb play, going for an unnecessary steal. Turns out to be actually the right play because he fouled Kevin Durant, preventing him from getting a three, and Kevin Durant missed the free throw. So worked out okay. Not sure if he planned it like that, but fine, who cares? It happened. But ultimately, I think this is what it comes down to in this series is this was a team, the Boston Celtics, that were all on the same page. Let's be ruthless. Let's get this series done as quickly as we can. Whereas the Nets was kind of like hero ball your way to victory if you can. And that's kind of what nearly happened in game 1. Kyrie Irving was brilliant in the fourth quarter of game 1. That's basically the last time we saw him in the series.
Another quiet game. Game here, 20 points, fine. 6 of 13 shooting,
but he didn't have the juice. Where he did in that fourth quarter, where he was motivated, he was determined. In this one, it was more like, I'll get mine when they come my way, but I'm not really going out there to do it. And so ultimately, this was the Nets had a chance to extend the series. They weren't going to win it, I don't think, under any circumstances. But the Boston Celtics showed why they are a legit contender right now. They defend incredibly well. Offensively, that ball moves around, and it seems to be a different guy every night, sort of stepping up.
Yeah.
Smart, I mean, 20 points, 11 assists last night. You know, fantastic.
And their season really changed when he became like their
point guard.
Point guard.
And I think I remember specifically at the trade deadline saying they need a point guard. Right. They can't run with Marcus Smart.
I said, get him out of here. That's the problem.
That's right. I think they were below .500. Well, they were very close to .500 at that point. It was like, Schroeder's not working. You need someone who can set up the offense. Well, okay, they proved me stupid and got it right. But I just feel that they really, you know, Horford was incredible, I thought, in this series. Tatum, again, 29 points last night and only 16 field goals. He actually, you know, 6 turnovers, a little bit sloppy for him last night. But ultimately, he was so good in this series at both ends of the floor. So Celtics get a good rest here before they face the Bucks in a couple of nights.
Yeah, what did you think of the post-game press conferences here, especially coming from the Net side of things, KD and Kyrie especially?
Well, I mean, it seems like this is going to be a tough fix, Skeets, but Kyrie Irving is up for the job because not only is he a player, he's also a coach. He's also apparently now a GM and perhaps a part owner of the Brooklyn Nets, but I don't know. It seems to me that this team is going to be the same team coming back next year. Theoretically, Ben Simmons will play, but I guess we shall see. He wasn't even in the building last night. He wasn't even in the building last night. Come on, man. That's honestly ridiculous. But KD back. Kyrie back. Ben Simmons back.
Joe Harris.
Yeah, that was honestly a huge injury, and that changes things. Mm-hmm. But if he's healthy, that helps. If Simmons can do anything, that helps. But I don't know. This is a team that wants to go home. It definitely felt like they were done with it. I saw Kevin Durant today on Instagram posted all of the Rockets, Hakeem, Charles, and Scottie Pippen when they had their super team there with the Rockets. That did not go well. So they seem to be pretty upset with the way things went down. And just, I mean, a disaster season. And we talked about them all the time. And I talked myself into them actually being able to show up in the playoffs. But you have to care at least 1% in the regular season, it seems.
Yeah, and that does carry over. I mean, there are things that happen in the regular season where, you know, experienced teams can say, listen, we just need to get healthy. We need to get to the playoffs. Doesn't matter about home court, road court, or anything like that. But the Nets had way more issues than that. And I think that's what you saw. It's the craziest thing to me is, though, you go back to that game in Philadelphia on March 10th. We were supposed to go to it. We didn't end up going.
Oh, right. The game where we thought Ben Simmons would be playing.
He was supposed to be back for. Point. And the Nets blew out the Sixers. Blew them out by 30 points. And it was like, wow. When the Nets get it together, man. Yeah. And now the Sixers are still alive. And the Nets have gone home. Well, they are. I mean, they're
a little woozy.
They're not in a position they want to be in, for sure. But yeah, I mean, I'm just super impressed. Ime Udoka as well. I think he deserves so much credit here because a first-year coach, things aren't going very well for him at the start, the first 40 games or so, and he's able to really implement his strategy, I think, going down the stretch here and into the playoffs. And
so you believe the Boston Celtics are, without a doubt, a legit title contender.
Oh,
not
yeah.
get there, not all that. They can win this thing.
I can see if things fall right, if they stay healthy and Robert Williams is back, I can see them beating every other team. Now, that doesn't mean they will, but I can see it happening. I mean, the Bucks, and we'll get into it a little bit here, but that's going to be a massive challenge for both of those teams, especially if Middleton is out. But I love the defense, and I love the variety on offense. I just think they've got everything. Yeah.
And then they have the variety you want of, hey, we have a guy that you can give the ball to and get us a bucket, get to the line, whatever, in Tatum. They basically have two. I mean, I think Jaylen Brown can be asked to do that a lot, and he proved in this series that time and time again he had timely buckets all the time. But then you're right. It's all these other guys contributing. And you said, like, you know, even – you know, Derek White had a decent little game last night, was aggressive shooting the ball. We've had the Pritchard sort of moments. Grant Williams was awesome in those three-pointed. So, yeah, there's that collective. It's like the perfect – we have an elite defense. The ball is shared. That rock is moving. But then we also have the superstars, which, it, you know, you generally do need to win the odd game or two in a playoff series. So I assume you're all in on the Celtics' chances to do this, too?
This is going to be an awesome series if the Bucks are able to withstand the Bulls' comeback here. I mean, it feels like a championship matchup once again. That's what I thought this was going to be with the Nets, so I guess we'll see how it actually plays out. But great performances from all the role guys on the Celtics. Three threes for Marcus Smart, three threes for Al Horford, and then four, like you're saying, for Grant Williams. If they're knocking down shots, you know they're playing defense. To bring the additional production on the offensive end, that's huge because, like you're saying, when it comes down to it, when they really need a bucket, they can go to Tatum, and if he's, for whatever reason, having a tough game or fouled out, they can go to Jaylen Brown. Handle's not quite as tight as Tatum's, but still a solid creator as well. So they've got the look of a team that has an identity on both ends of the court, and that's huge. Not a lot of teams have that, even in the playoffs. The Celtics, they look super impressive. They've been the best team in the Eastern Conference so far in the playoffs.
And I think the trust factor on offense is huge because you saw, like, Seth Curry was maybe the second best player there last night. A couple of home run threes to keep Brooklyn in it. Mm-hmm. But when Boston needed a basket, they would just move the ball around pretty comfortably. It was like Tatum, bounce it inside to Smart, find Grant Williams in the corner. He knew exactly where he was going to be. That sort of chemistry on offense is what Brooklyn did not have. And a lot of teams don't have it quite the way Boston does because Tatum, Brown, Smart, Horford as well. This is second go around. And Tice, these guys have been there together and they do understand. And even someone like Daniel Tice, a little bit frustrating at times, you know, not the best hands in the world, but he understands he'll get his opportunity. He'll get a role. He can hit the three. So there's going to be a role for him even if the minutes are reduced. So Boston's looking incredible.
So I was doing a little quick brainstorming sesh this morning. I thought we could talk this out on the fly. Most surprising sweeps over, let's call the last decade, over the last 10 years. So this would be on that list. I mean, I know it's a 2-7 matchup. Yeah. Seventh seed isn't generally beating the second seed. I get all that, but this is, you know, a team with KD and Kyrie playing, and then there was the whole Ben Simmons thing, and like, obviously a good team, but the Celtics sweep them. So surprising. A couple other that was, you know, coming to mind. Again, this was a sort of a quick look. I'm sure I'm going to miss a few. I had on my list the Bucks actually sweeping the Heat.
Last year,
in the 2021 first round, just because of like, you know, it was a decent team.
Definitely.
Yeah, it wasn't definitely, again, the sweep is the surprising part of this, maybe not winning the series. I had that. I had the Warriors sweeping the Blazers in the Western Conference Finals. I sort of think anytime you get to a conference finals and a sweep happens, you know, outside of like an injury here or there, stuff like that, but that one came to mind. I put down the Cavs sweeping the Raptors in the second round in 2018. Now, because that was for the second consecutive year that the Raptors got swept. I believe that's the JV missing bunnies in game one and all that. Yeah. So, look, the Raptors being swept by a LeBron team, you could say, is that really all that surprising?
Not a big surprise.
Maybe in back-to-back seasons, though, when the Raptors had a pretty good seed that year. Pelicans sweeping the Blazers in the first round of also 2018. Had that on the list. That was a lower, I think that
Drew
was
Holiday.
Six-seeded Pelicans beating the Blazers at the third seed. And then a couple others going back a little further. Had the Warriors sweeping the Spurs in the Western Conference Finals in 2017. That's
Kawhi.
The Zaza under Kawhi. What happens if he doesn't get injured? So that one changed, obviously, on the dime when he gets injured. Kawhi goes out. The Cavs sweeping the Hawks in the Eastern Conference Finals 2015. Ugh. But that's a 60-win Hawks team.
But they had home court as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's
yeah.
Again, to not even win a game.
No. I agree. That was a surprising sweep for sure.
Yeah. And then three more. I put the Wizards sweeping the Raptors in the first round of the 2015 playoffs. I flew home for that game one that the Raptors, of course, lost. And then that was the Paul Pierce series, right, I think?
I believe so, I know it was the Bradley Beal waving
called
the game.
I called game, and then I have the Spurs sweeping the Grizzlies again in the Western Conference Finals in 2013.
Yes, I remember that
one. And then finally, this one definitely would have high on the list. The Mavs sweeping the Lakers in the second round, 2011. Mm. I think, if I have that right, that's the Bynum body check on J.J. Barea. Yeah. And that was a 2-3 matchup. That's the Lakers, I think, were the number two seed. So, you know, again, I did that fairly quickly this morning. Yeah. I'm sure I'm missing some. Let me know in the stream team or in the comments below. I was going to make that its whole segment, but I'm glad I just did it that way. Because, you know.
That's a solid clip, honestly. So let's circle back on that in the social brainstorms channel afterwards. You'll be seeing a No Dunks nibble later. This reminds me of the 2011 sweep.
There you go.
The Mavs versus the Lakers. Because it seemed like it was going to be a pretty fair fight, all things considered, and it definitely was not. And the next season, the Lakers didn't have the same coach, which could also be the case for the Nets coming back next year, because at the very least, it feels like Steve Nash will be the scapegoat here, because the players are probably coming back, to be quite honest, and they never really looked organized and on the same page for the entire year, and unfortunately, that kind of comes down on the coach, kind of the easiest thing to change, so I would not be surprised if Steve Nash is talking soccer not too long.
You want a little fun trivia?
Yeah,
yes.
You know, there's only one team in NBA history that's been involved in four sweeps in the same postseason and didn't win the championship. You know who that was?
They were involved at the Pistons? Right?
Involved in it.
Am I right?
They were involved, yes.
Yeah, so they swept three series and then got swept?
That's the Lakers who swept three series and then got swept in 89.
By the Pistons.
By the Pistons, lost more games than the Lakers. Well, they lost two games on the way to the finals, but then swept the Lakers.
Look at that little piece of trivia.
Yeah, see, that goes along with my Minute Bowl trivia. That's the next one. Someone says,
hope that comes up at pub trivia. We'll nail that one. Knock that one out of the park. Any other thoughts, guys, on the Celtics? We're going to be talking about the Beantown Boys a lot here as we get ready for the second round series with the Bucks. But, do you want to say anything more about the Brooklyn Nets? Are you happy the sweep has happened?
I mean, look, I like Kevin Durant as a player. You know, I think he is. He's top 15 of all time, in my opinion.
Sure.
So I don't, you know, we knew that one of these good teams was going to be knocked out in the first round. But to see him get sort of embarrassed like that is not satisfying. I mean,
Do you think it has to, like, what's the reason why he sort of flamed out here in the first round? Is it because of the defense and Tatum going and to maybe another level defensively at least? Is the age catching up with Kevin Durant?
I think so. For sure.
Maybe the workload that he was asked to do.
Yeah, he was playing so many minutes. And earlier in this season, he said he doesn't care how many minutes he'll play. He'll play them. But I actually think that's part of the reason why he got injured. He came back late into the season. And then the defense on that, I mean, for a guy, again, he's only 33, but he's got a ton of miles in his legs. And that defense was just like suffocating for him, you know. And
has there been a passing of the torch? Dare I ask?
Well, I tell you what, Jason Tatum, I know he's been doing it a lot this season and even last season, but when he decides he's getting a bucket or a shot off, he's at that sort of Kevin Durant level where I don't really care who's defending me. I'm getting to my spot.
I again am just continually impressed with now he's added defense to the mix.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if he's going to play like that on that end of the floor, then you're going to be in a lot of MVP conversations. He's already there because of his offensive
And his playmaking on top of that as well.
Yeah,
he had some incredible series like that. So, he is definitely at that super elite level already.
Okay, well, let's move to the Raptors, shall we? Give me some Raptor news. Oh, gladly. Raptors beat the Sixers 103-88. Went into Philly, beat their ass, had the home crowd booing them, leaving. Headed to beat the traffic with like 6 minutes to go, force a game six at home. Obviously started this series down 3-0. They've won the last two games, and they're going to win in seven. It is known. This was an all-around great game for the Raptors, defensively especially. And then we talked about it here with Tass. You know, he was concerned with Van Vliet not playing. I said, I don't know. I'm saying right now, Van Vliet was getting cooked. This is the thing. He couldn't stay in front of Maxey. He's a great defender, but because of the injury, I think, because of the speed of Maxey, he was struggling on that end, wasn't giving him a whole lot offensively. So the idea of, like, Spicy P as the point guard, let him operate. And then the defense is, like, all these long guys, all this switchability. And it worked at least for Game 5 here. And Siakam, again, for the second consecutive game, Trey, I thought was the best player on the floor. And he had 15 of his 23 in the second half. Just three assists shy of a triple-double, and great defense, too.
Of course, yeah.
To get the Raptors, they're back in this series, which is crazy. I mean, you know, who knows? They got to win in game six, but oh, my God. Oh, my God.
It feels like 100% of people would pick the Raptors to win this series in seven right now because nobody has confidence that the Sixers are going to show up in game six. Maybe Fred VanVleet being out was, like, the best thing to happen to the Raptors.
I'm telling you.
Because the Sixers did not come out with the necessary fire to win this game. Does Spicy P... The P stands for Pascal. Could it stand for passing? Seven assists. That's not bad. The Raptors finished with 24 assists on 42 makes. The ball was moving incredibly well, at least on that end of the court. The Sixers, though, just think the Raptors were going to give up.
Yep.
Did they? They thought after two wins, they thought this one is done. We'll go win one here in Toronto. We'll let them have one. There's no way they're going to do it again in Game 5. Whoops. This is the Raptors we're talking about here. Embiid was getting cooked by Precious Achiuwa dribble drives.
Yeah.
Like, I've never seen Precious Achiuwa make that many plays off the dribble. And it would be like a crossover, and Embiid is nowhere near him. I don't know. I'm like, if Embiid is this tired in Game 5 of the first round, after talking all year about how he played so many games this season... Come on, man. That's at least kudos to him for admitting that he didn't have the energy necessary for this game, for them to close out the series. But too much blame game for the Sixers. It's like as soon as the game is over, everybody wants to blame everybody else. Embiid blamed Harden, obviously, for not shooting. Harden was brutal. He blamed Doc for not telling James Harden to shoot. And then he blamed his teammates for passing the ball around too much. What do you want? You want to take every single shot? Play some defense. Honestly, some defense if you think you're a defensive player of the year. It's never been Embiid's fault anytime the Sixers lose, and he definitely didn't think it was yesterday. But to me, you take your cues from your two best players. Embiid was kind of a no-show in this game, and then Harden was definitely a no-show.
Oh, my God. Is it because he's gassed? He sure looked like it in the second half. How much has to do with the thumb injury, too, with Embiid? I don't really, like, defensively... I don't think your thumb hurting would prevent your legs from moving and shuffling on defense. Obviously, has some impact on maybe blocking shots. But yeah, they went at Embiid. I think they went at him like six or seven times, like in a stretch in the second half. There, OG, Precious Achiuwa, Siakam, and they scored almost every time or got to the line. And I couldn't, like, the Raptors grabbed control of this game in the second quarter. And then they just held on to it.
Yeah.
And they just, like, stiff-armed the Sixers for the rest of the second half, which I got to be honest, I'm watching it going, well, there's a run in them. There's a Sixers run in them here. And then how will the Raptors respond? And really, it just didn't get all that close. They sort of kept it to 8 to 12 points.
Yeah, well, it got back to 9 points, and then the Raptors got an alley-oop to Thaddeus Young. Yep, so yeah. That tells you that the rim protection was not at its best last night. Then you had a Precious Achiuwa dunk following that, and then you had Pascal Siakam sort of stretching out and hit a mid-ranger.
Yeah.
And then I think they got another dunk as well, another oop dunk
well,
in
Scottie
transition.
Barnes threw two oops.
Yeah, to Precious. Yeah. I thought Precious has changed so much from the start of this season in his decision making and his composure. It's incredible now where you're like, I trust him to make the right decision.
Yeah. He still loves the three-pointer.
Yeah,
doesn't
he does. But he does. He made one
plays a crazy game.
Hey, you gotta take the three to like a defense to like commit a little
that's
bit.
That's right. But right now, that's the thing is the last place in the world the Sixers want to be is in Toronto right now. Because they...
Oh my God, Air Canada Center, Scotiabank Arena, whatever the hell it's called, Jurassic Park, is going to be going insane for Game 6.
Doc Rivers wants Game 6 more than he wants Game 7. Because the last thing Philadelphia wants to have to do is defend home court to save off a potential coming back from 3-0 down Raptors here. This is a disaster right now for Philadelphia because that's the thing. If they were being pushed and put under any pressure, how would they respond? And as Trey points out, after the game, they're kind of like, well, it's not my fault. You didn't do your job.
After game 4, it was the officials' fault.
That's right.
And then after game 5, I guess it was each other's
fault. They're doubling me. Passing it.
Yeah. So this is... I know Gourmet Spart had a good tweet. He said, you know what? Before the game, he said, if the Raptors lose, end to a promising season. But if they win, the chaos. My God, the chaos.
Hell yeah, baby.
Because people have... Obviously, everyone's pointing out, if one team and one coach is likely to lose and blow a 3-0 lead, it's Doc and it's James Harden and it's a Sixers team here. So who knows what happens, but and whether or not Fred even plays in that game. But the Raptors just played last night with the looseness of like we put ourselves under too much pressure, I think, in those first two games.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like, let's be honest too, they're a different team than when they started this series, right? I mean, there was the Gary Trent Jr. sickness. So he was obviously affected. I mean, he was like I thought he was going to hurl on the floor for crying out loud or shit his pants, whatever that was going to be. So like, he's sort of like giving them something now. There was Scottie Barnes, of course, missing the start of this series after the quick injury. Like, and then Van Vliet going out completely changes them too. As we talked about, they just have all these guys that are switchable defenders. There's a lot more length. I think it has at least had an impact on Maxey, where it's OG generally. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, that's a good, I mean, he's fast enough, obviously long enough, and he's like sort of doing a good job staying in front of them. So it's like, they're just like, and then Precious playing this way, they're just a different team. Like, I enjoy burying and piling dirt on the Sixers just as much because, well, this would be brutal. But I just think the Raptors are playing much more up to their capabilities, I guess, or what we saw for a good chunk of the regular season. Yeah. And why a lot of people picked them to win the series to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe they're going to do this. Raptors are going to win.
You got to fly home for game 6. Raps, you got to
fly home for game 6.
We'll go to game 7 in Philly.
I'm sticking with what's working right now. I was putting in work last night. I was on the treadmill for this game, really.
Wow.
I put in 20 miles on the treadmill. You know how boring that
20
is?
20 miles?
It's not that boring when you're watching the Raptors kick the Sixers' ass. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
I'm loving it.
Imagine if the Raptors actually play good, too. They made 8 threes last night, 25% from three. They made 11 free throws, basically nothing. This wasn't a game where either team was really going to be complaining about the refs. The thing they did was take care of the ball. Only 8 turnovers. They forced more out of the Sixers for sure, but the Raptors could go to another level, no doubt about it. I mean, maybe they don't necessarily have their shooters with Van Vliet being in and out of the lineup and Gary Trent, kind of being up and down with his illness, but the Raptors can play better as well, and that tends to be when you're back in your home barn, your home bank, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, it would be great timing, you're right, for like a Gary Trent Jr. to hit 6 threes, or even OG, who's capable knockdown shooter, hit 4 or 5. And those guys, they hit a couple last night.
He hit a huge one, actually.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. Give me Kevin Calabro on the call, too.
I love this combo. Calabro and Hayward?
Brendan Hayward's great, too.
I like them. Yeah. We will see. I guess fortunate for the Sixers is game 6 isn't till Thursday. Yeah, you got a little bit of a break here for Joel Embiid.
More time to think about
it. But I think Embiid can use all the rest he can. Yeah. He looked gassed.
Yeah, he did. He did. And a long series doesn't help James Harden as well. Historically, we know he tends to flame out. But
James Harden was... I mean, I forgot, like, you wouldn't, but, you had to remind me he was even playing in this game. Yeah. And I know the box score, I'm sure, looks okay at the end. But he had no impact, really, on this game. No.
But for the Raptors, if Danny Green is out there... And when I'm pointing back to the last year against the Trae Young when he played... If Danny Young's on you, just drive straight at the
Danny
rim.
Danny Green's on you.
Sorry, Danny Green, yeah. If he's on you, drive past him. He's too slow. He's way too slow. He can be a decent veteran hitting threes at the other end, fine. Defensively, he's as slow as anything. Mm-hmm. Charge at him if you're the Raptors.
Yeah, I will say, the Sixers went to some zone defense in this one. It was working. They stopped the Raptors a couple times, and it was like, again, get Spicy P or Thad Young in the middle of that zone. Come on, we learned this in high school, how to beat the frickin' 2-3 zone. And as they started getting it going. And then the other thing is, please, Nick Nurse, after every Sixers timeout, I swear they hit a corner three. They always run the play where Danny Green or Niang or like somebody hits a corner three. It happened so many times in this game, and it feels like the series. I don't know. Maybe it's just like I'm only remembering those ones and not the misses, but just be ready for it. They want to shoot a corner three after every like break and play, like after you go away for a commercial and stuff like that. So, you like the chances to at least go seven?
Oh, absolutely,
this one?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the funny thing as well, last night, given the Nets being eliminated, was Goran Dragic, who didn't want to play. They trade him for Thad Young. Thad Young, I mean, not a huge box score, but just his presence on the floor.
It was an impact.
In 16 minutes, he took two shots, only made one, but three rebounds, three assists. I felt he was way more impactful than that. So it's pretty crazy to see. Wow. Game six is going to be wild.
Oh, my goodness. Any final thoughts on Raps Sixers?
Let's see some more Furkan Korkmaz.
Oh, boy. That's what it's
might as well.
To.
Why not?
Going deep in the bag. Pull out your Furkan.
Well, you know what's funny? It's funny you bring that up. Remember at the start of this series when we were like making our predictions and talking it out, we said, wow, could it be beneficial? It sounds weird, but like Dybul can't play in Toronto. Like,
can't play in Philadelphia either.
Exactly. Yeah. And that was why. And man, he's playing in this one. And to the point, like Raptors avoid playing him. Don't worry about him. Let him shoot. And yeah, it was bad. And then he was like, I think he was in his head and he threw away a brutal turnover. And I think that's when Doc like took him out. He's like, oh boy.
Yeah.
Like, we're not going to see him in Toronto, of course.
Nah.
If it goes seven, which it is, I'm not sure how much you'll see him even in game seven right now.
No, I guess though, after that, there's no chance of going back to Toronto. Maybe he gets more time. But remember, I made fun of Doc saying we wouldn't have won the game without Tease anyway.
Yeah, he was right. Yeah. Maybe he was right. He has not been playing well. And like, yeah, he's just out there and everyone's like, he's a great defensive player, but just don't worry about him offensively.
Nah. Oh,
Let him shoot away. All right. Let's take our first break. And when we come back, we'll get into the Mavs beating the Jazz and Ja Morant winning most improved.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
You all right?
Yeah, there was... something going on here, but
I thought there was like a raccoon.
Oh no, I'm trying to not let it distract me, but I'm like, is something gonna fall on my head? I don't know. Anyway,
I thought you were doing a William Shatner. Peloton four working out.
All right, back here in the Classic Factory. Let's get to the blowout from last night. Fortunately, I haven't had a lot of like just.
No,
crushing stinkers. Blowout stinkers. Yeah,
so I'm not familiar with any, to be quite honest.
Oh, well, right, that's actually
haven't seen a single blowout.
I sort of forgot about that series, yeah. The Bucks Bulls, because I've sort of been avoiding that series. If
yeah,
I'm being honest.
Saturday, Friday, and Sunday, good time to get blown out.
Yeah. Okay, we had Luka Doncic scoring 33 points though as the Mavs beat the Jazz 102-77. I mean, this was brutal to take the 3-2 series lead. What happened in this one, TK?
You remember that sick Gandalf analogy I made yesterday?
Yeah, it took a while to get there. But
yeah. Yeah. Totally nailed it. Donovan Mitchell threw an alley-oop to Rudy Gobert to win game four. Could have been the turning point for the Jazz, but it turns out they hate Lord of the Rings. Mm-hmm. Too long. Too many characters. Kind of confusing that there's a guy named Boromir and Faramir. They're brothers. I also think that Viggo Mortensen and Sean Bean look too similar to be in the same movie going up against each other. Nonetheless, a supremely disappointing effort from the Jazz last night. Zero fight, zero sense of urgency. And zero building on something that really could have galvanized the team. They got absolutely smoked. Just like when Saruman's army was defeated at Helm's Deep. Am I right?
Yep.
Yeah. Mavs, meanwhile, got excellent performances from Doncic and Brunson once again. 33, 13, and 5 for the Donk. Took over in the third quarter. 19 points, 3 threes, shimmying and just generally rubbing it in the face of the Utah Jazz in his first home game since that calf injury. This would have been a sweep if Luka was playing, I do think. Brunson, though, went for 24 points on a slightly inefficient 9 of 20 shooting, but 57 points from the Mavs starting backcourt, 37 total for the Jazz starters. Gobert had 17 points. He was the high man for the Jazz starters. Single digits for Bogdanović, who went 2 points on 0 of 9 shooting. He's been a reliable player for them so far in this series, not last night. Mike Conley went for 4 points on 1 of 6 shooting and looks completely washed
right now.
Yeah. Royce O'Neal, he's not a scorer anyways, but he didn't do much last night. And then just 9 points on 4 of 15 shooting for Donovan Mitchell. The Jazz starters combined to shoot 13 of 43. That's 30%, which is how the Mavs won this thing pretty easily while shooting 43% from the field, which is fine. But just 28% from three. Like, they won by 25 points. It really was more like a 45-point game, and it could have been even worse. Part of it is defense. The Mavs are doing an awesome job limiting the threes from the Jazz. Utah went 3 of 30 last night. They were the best three-point shooting team in the league. They're taking 10 threes less per game. That's crazy. Also, the Mavs are able to keep the Jazz away from the rim and just force Utah into floaters, despite the fact that they play like Dwight Powell as their center. Maxi Kleba's like probably their best rim protector, but to me, the biggest thing is that Donovan Mitchell looks like he's Donovan with y'all.
Yes.
Weird game from Mitchell. 9 points, 4 of 15 shooting, 4 turnovers to 1 assist. I think he did make a layup, but this guy is a floater fest, and it's just a really, really tough shot. He's at 26 points per game in this series, which is fine, but it's been helped by some inefficient nights, no doubt about it. 38% from the field, 20% from three. Picked up a hamstring late in this one in the fourth quarter. Down by 28 points, and he was still in the game for whatever reason. He says he's going to play in game six, but if he's as checked out as he was in game five, don't even bother.
What do you think?
I can't believe what I saw, honestly, from the Jazz. Chance to get home and win this series and close it out, coming back, and last night they were like, we're done no matter what. And now the Mavs are going to go there, and I honestly think they're going to just close it out in six, because as Trey's saying, Donovan Mitchell's basically made the decision for the front office, get me out of here. I don't care. No one really showed that like pride last night for the Jazz. That's what's embarrassing. If you lose on a buzzer beater, or you fight to the wire, or a guy's getting in foul trouble and injury, there's some sort of built-in excuse. You can make an excuse for them. There was no excuse for them last night to just be like, and I agree 100% with what Trey's saying. Like, I thought, wow, that moment there with Rudy and Donovan, that could be the turning point. The Jazz could just go and steal this series. And instead, it was just like, oh, why'd you catch that lob, Rudy? You know, we could have closed it. We could have been off.
Donovan's upset. He got it.
It's like he never catches that.
Yeah, he accidentally passed it to Rudy. He was like, oh, jeez, how can I not pass it to him now? But instead, they just showed no fight, no heart. This one was embarrassing on so many levels. Down 16 points at halftime of a game that's your season is on the line right there. And they don't have the injury excuse, you know. Everyone's, you know, healthy. So, yeah, Jazz.
Well, maybe not now with Donovan.
Well, yeah. But it doesn't matter about the hamstring if he's got the attitude that he's played with many times in this series. Didn't really get to the free throw line there last night. Hard to look at Utah and think, even if they were to somehow extend this to seven, and they, even if they were to somehow pull this series off, there's no chance in the next round. They just don't want to play together.
Yeah, I mean, look, we thought when they went, or I guess when they were down 2-1, that it was like, they're probably done as it is, and we're down 4 points late, and pull out the pretty miraculous comeback. So they maybe have some fight still in them for game six. I wouldn't say it's over just quite yet.
I mean, it shouldn't be. This is a team that has got so many factors that other teams love. Continuity, star players, well coached, they're deep, they shoot the three, they defend well. How many franchises would love to have just that reputation of like, well, you're getting 45 to 50 wins just because you do it every year, you've got a great home court. But they get to this point of their time together and instead it feels like this is their first time together. And it's like, playoffs team, you know, they need some experience. This will be good for them in the future. Instead, it's like they've somehow gotten worse. I mean, there were a chance they could finish second. They should have won 55 games. They finished with 49 this season. It looks like, okay, this is just done, this combination of Rudy and Donovan as your two stars.
Yeah, bad timing on Bogdanovich's part to go put up the stinker there. The 0-for-9, I don't think he hit a 3.
No.
Mitchell didn't hit a 3. Nobody could. 3-for-30.
3-for-30.
You don't see that often in the box
10%,
score.
Yeah,
that's really, really crazy for a team that, like you said, is generally a pretty good three-point shooting team or among some of the best in the league. So, what do you think? You think this one's over in Utah for Game 6? I think on Thursday night as well.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I would like to see the Jazz have one good game. You know, it was nice. The comeback was nice in Game 4, no doubt about it. But the Jazz just haven't looked like a Jazz team that we expect, playing solid defense. I mean, it's tough out there for them to guard right now. Mm-hmm. They can't guard Doncic. They can't guard Brunson. It's just a matter of, are they going to make shots or are they going to miss them? And then they get wide open threes outside. But the fact that the offense is falling completely off a cliff too is super weird. Like, okay, we kind of understand that the Jazz may get exposed as a small ball team, and that's definitely happened, but Mitchell has been such a disappointment. This guy has shown up in the playoffs time and time again, and the fact that he's shooting 38% as the lead guy and just looking checked out. Like, yeah. I mean, yeah, Bogdanovich is 0-for-9, but fine. Like, anything you get from him is almost a cherry on the top of the sundae if you're expecting three-pointers from everybody else, and you're expecting Mitchell to be the guy who's the head of the snake, really leading the charge and starting up the drive and kick machine that has been so successful for 4-5 seasons at this point. But he's not playing with the force necessary to win this series, and he's making things even tougher by shooting floaters every single time. Floaters every single time. Would it kill you to take one layup? He took one free throw last night. Get to the line. The guy was compared to Dwayne Wade so many times early in his career. Dwayne Wade played defense, and Dwayne Wade went to the line all the time.
Yeah,
that's want to stuff right there.
Yeah, we'll see what happens in Game 6. I still think this one's going 7 for some weird reason.
But that's the thing. It could if they play to their potential. But.
Yeah, and like, what's crazy is the Mavs did not play like an elite game. That's like, you
not
know,
great.
At least
like,
I will say bringing Luka back in Game 4 looked very smart here in Game 5. You know, getting him that 30 to 34 minutes, whatever he played in Game 4, even though they lost. And I was like on the weekend shift wondering like, wow, maybe you just let the good thing that was happening there with Brunson and Dinwiddie and all that attacking, you let that continue. But now it looks smart because he was pretty amazing. I mean, he was clowning them too. Oh. And he really helps. And I always forget this with Luka. He's an awesome rebounder.
Mm-hmm.
They finished with 13 in this game. They're small as it is, the Mavs. You need all those. He was fantastic. I think Kidd talked about it after the game. He's one of our best rebounders. He's a big guy. He gets in there and ends possession. So, they were embarrassing them. I turned this one off at the end of the third quarter. I said, that's it. Good night. I'm going to sleep. Because it was 16 points, like you said, a half. Is that right? You know, you're down that much. First half leads are fake. You need to put together a good 5 or 6 minutes and like get yourself back in the game if you're the Jazz. And they did the opposite. They lost that quarter by 10, and it was a smoke show.
Yeah, and that's it. I mean, what does Quinn Snyder have to say to his guys? Like, guys, 16 points. We win this. Remember, we're going home with a chance to close out. Instead, they're just like, let's just go home and see if we can drag it out to 7.
Yeah, we'll see. Had some award news, guys. Yes, we've got another one. Ja Morant, 2021-22, most improved player. All right. This was announced on Monday. Became the first player in NBA history to win both Rookie of the Year and Most Improved in a single career. Did it in a 3-year window. Ja Morant received 38 first place votes overall. There was a lot of people getting votes, which isn't really surprising when it comes to this award. DeJounte Murray coming in second place with 20 first place votes, and then Cavs guard Darius Garland finishing in third with 11 first place votes. Look, I feel like we've talked about this time and time again. I think it's really silly that Ja Morant is winning Most Improved. At this point, I almost don't care anymore. Like, everybody else can get all upset about it. But what were your thoughts on Ja winning this? He tried to give the award to Desmond Bain.
Yeah.
And then Desmond Bain didn't even want it. No, it's your award. I can't take it.
I think more people are in your sort of side here where they're like, okay, we need to determine whether or not it's an award a star can win or something more a surprising player.
Draymond Green has called it, where it's gone over the last little bit, young MVP. Which I think there's a lot
better.
Of truth
I wrote MVP Junior.
Yeah.
Young MVP sounds more accomplished.
Same idea. Yeah. This like, hey, you're not quite at the MVP level, but you're very young. You've sort of taken that step or that leap. So here you go, good sir.
Personally, I think it's whatever you want it to be, because
obviously,
unless they come up with like a sophomore award, and then it's like a veterans awards maybe for someone who's had a good resurgence of the career, which it used to be, sort of comeback player of the year award, then we're always going to have this same debate. It's a bit silly to me, if you disqualify someone just because they took a leap from star to superstar. You know, it's like, hey, Ja Morant improved from like, hey, that guy's pretty good, to like, oh my God, this guy is a legit star. So he's worthy, in my opinion. I thought Jaren Jackson improved so much this season on both ends of the floor. I thought Desmond Bain was incredible, so all these other guys, I thought Darius Garland, Jordan Poole and DeJounte Murray, all worthy of the award. But ultimately, if it is the most improved, Ja took a leap that was way higher in terms of the getting to the elite level than those guys just improving as basketball play, and the way I interpret it. But it's like like the Rookie of the Year. I think it's silly that a rookie can sit out his entire first season and win the award in his second season, because Julius Randle played 14 minutes of his rookie campaign and was ineligible for Rookie of the Year next season because he got on the court. There's some, all these awards have weird little like things like that. And I think for this one, unless there's a specific like, okay, you're already good, you can't win this award, then you may as well just hand it to the guy who really did improve the most this season. And I think collectively, Ja Morant ticks those boxes.
What are your thoughts on a number two overall pick this is the funny part. Last season, yes, he wasn't an all-star, but everybody was like, Ja Morant is well on his way to becoming a superstar. I'm sorry if you didn't see that I don't know, you weren't watching Grizzlies games. I mean, it was pretty apparent, and then he put it all together. They won a lot of games. He increased a lot of his scoring and assists, not as much as Desmond Bain, and in both those categories, I will point out. But I guess Brandon Ingram won Most Improved, and he was a second pick overall. I don't know. Yeah, does that bode well for James Wiseman? Can we lock him in?
I guess if you're a promising young player and you don't set the league on fire right away, maybe you're going to be winning it here in your third year or something like that. Yeah. Ja, to me, is a little bit different than all of the people that people have been referencing lately. Like, you see Giannis show up on the Most Improved Player list. He was not Giannis at the point where he won Most Improved Player, right? I mean, Ingram never got to the heights that Ja did. So, it is a little bit of a young MVP award, but if anybody's going to be the young MVP this season, it should be Ja Morant. And it is cool that he can share it with all of the various Grizzlies also got awards. Yeah. It's almost like, we're giving it to you, Ja, for a couple of reasons. You should get some MVP love, but you're not going to get the actual MVP. Here you go. Here's your ball. But also, your teammates are also very well improved. So, like, pass it around a little bit. Like, let me hold that with a towel on my hand so my fingerprints don't get on it. I was a little confused. How did the award get to Desmond Bain's house?
So quickly.
Yeah, exactly. Like, did Ja go and drop it off and then hide and then be like, hey, go look in your kitchen?
I wondered the exact same thing. I was trying to put together the timeline of it. Because the clip was going around of them handing it to Ja Morant at practice. Yeah. And then... Well, I guess maybe it wasn't the next day. I guess it was in his house. He's in Memphis. What are your thoughts on all these awards looking all the same in this crystal ball? I already did like my whole temper boy rant on a weekend shift, but what are they doing? Why would you ruin this? especially if you're going to make them all universal looking, all the awards, make them look cooler than that.
Yeah, True. I mean, you need like a like some sort of player representation of the award, I think, you know. Like the MVP is like the guy, you know, running. You know, so I don't know. Do something a bit more like
and the defensive player there is the guy in the defensive stance.
So what would you do for most improved? That's a tough one. But maybe you could just get like Jar's block, that, you know, that incredible block, and make that into
custom
his award.
Awards.
Yeah, why not? They've got the money to do it. I mean, I would rather that than the than just here's a ball.
Yeah,
you know.
So small ball at that, I say.
Yeah,
it's not even like the that big diamond encrusted thing they're passing around.
Yeah,
at least that's substantial.
Yeah. Everyone looks a bit nervous though when they're holding that, because they're like, "What if they drop it?"
Yeah. I wonder if it like cuts your fingers a little bit too. I always "Hey, Jim Ice, can I hold the NBA 75th anniversary ball? Can I take a photo with it?" I think we've found every celebrity. Yeah. We've now reached us in whatever tier we're in.
I think it would be hard to store that award.
Which one?
A ball.
The crystal ball. You need a stand.
Yeah, you need a stand. Maybe there is a stand in that big box, because that was a huge box. At Desmond Bane's house, compared to the size of the ball. But I did like the consideration he was giving when he was hiding.
Maybe
who was that? Santi Aldama? Maybe he was hiding behind as they presented him the award and he gave it to him. I thought it was very funny that he had the towel so that like it didn't have fingerprints when he gave it to Ja. Ja, of course, grabs it with his hand, but they're his fingerprints.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Okay, well, I wish we would go back to the... to the old awards. Like, Rookie of the Year was just more of like a bigger plaque type thing. I think it was glass too, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
I don't love the concept of them all looking the same.
Biggest issue. I'm actually starting to believe myself here and think they should just, you know, create an individual one.
Like a 3D printer.
Okay, let's go back to like, you know, Magic Johnson, rookie season, wins the championship. Magic can be the Rookie of the Year award. You know, I know that was playoffs rather than regular season, but, you know, the Magic Skyhook or something like that, that could be the Rookie of the Year award.
Okay.
Thinking what could be six man, like... Well, I know what.
Guys sitting on the bench.
Exactly. Perfect. Yeah.
That would be hilarious.
There you go. Defense. What else we need?
With a coach like waving. No, you're not starting. You're not starting.
You're right. Right. Yeah.
Pointing at the watt. You're coming in at the 6 minute mark.
Yeah.
I like that. I think that Twyman Stokes, the teammate award, that one is
a great
like
one.
A guy helping somebody out. I do like all of these action. Yeah.
I'm concerned, like, because we haven't got to them. Well, no, we got the Defensive Player of the Year one, which was the ball. Is the MVP gone? Are we getting the crystal ball?
That's a great question.
For MVP?
Yeah, it should be a bigger ball. It should be the biggest ball there is, yeah.
Back to MIP. Here's a question I threw out on Twitter last night. Who's winning next season's MIP? Most improved. Forget the playoffs. Let's start talking about the regular season next year. If you're, I don't know, I'll throw a couple names at you.
Okay.
Did you not see my tweet?
No, I didn't see it. No.
It was a great tweet. All right. okay, I threw a couple names. I said Jalen Brunson. Especially if he moves, you know.
That could be big.
There's a possibility. I think RJ Barrett, where this award is going. Okay. Now, he's already a 20-point per game score.
Yeah,
but
Ja, you know, was about that last season.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, he kicked that up to 25, 26. Maybe the team has more success. You could see that. Who the hell else did I have on that list? De'Aaron Fox.
Oh.
Don't you dare give me that.
He's averaged 25 a game already.
I don't care.
So, yeah, he has to go to like 32 a game.
He just has to get the team into the play-in tournament.
Yeah, don't like that one. But
okay. I also had a Cade Cunningham. Let's get real crazy.
Sure. Yeah.
So now we're going to give it to the number one overall pick. I'm actually think it's going to happen.
He could. I mean, he's a legit stud. Absolutely.
So if he goes from being the number one pick, finishing, third in Rookie of the Year?
Yeah.
And then he is a triple-double type machine.
Yeah.
The Pistons surprise everybody, sort of the Cavs and Garland angle.
Yeah.
All right. And I had one more name.
I'll throw one out. He was an all-star, though, so probably doesn't count. But LaMelo Ball, I can see if he gets it up to like 27 and 12 or something
This
like that.
This is the way the award is obviously going. It seems like you've got to become an all-star. I think there is something to a little team success, and then obviously your numbers improving.
Yeah.
Generally scoring. Anyone else come to mind?
Ben Simmons?
I mean,
one Rookie of the Year in his second year?
That's right. Wow.
I mean, comes back, money from three.
Yeah.
Lockdown defense. Oh, Ben Simmons? Now he's looking like the number one pick. Oh, but come on. That would be hilarious. Number one pick who won Rookie of the Year when he was a second-year player. Now he wins Most Improved after taking a year off.
Wow.
Early betting favorite at betmgm.com, I'm seeing.
I mean, technically the award should go to whoever the MVP is if he didn't win MVP the season before. Because no one improved better than that to become best in the league.
Well, I remember when they were trying to tell us Steph Curry in his back-to-back MVP seasons should be winning most improved because he improved from winning. So where's the Jokic love? Where's the Giannis love always?
Yeah.
All right. Mm. Well, let's hear from the stream team. Let's hear from everybody listening to the podcast, watching later. Next year's MIP, who's a favorite?
What should the award look like, too?
What should the award look like? The MIP one, specifically.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, that one's a tough one.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a silly award when you really get down to it. And I can't believe I have gone from, you know, going crazy about a second-year player winning it because, duh, yeah, they're generally going to improve. You know, I've been saying this for a decade now. I know Hollinger is saying it too. But now I've, like, veered toward, like, Ja Morant's winning. Like, he's an all-NBA guy. Like, there are awards for him. There are accolades for him. I'm almost more upset about this now where it's gone, which is insane. I never thought that would happen, but... yeah, let's hear from everybody. MIP, what do you think the trophy should look like? And who's going to win next year so we can lay some money on that? Yeah. All right, let's take our final break. When we come back, tweet of the night and look ahead to tonight's three games.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Hey guys, whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. No sound effects. I don't have them loaded up and I got too much going on over here. Good news, guys. I finally got the notification from Shopify that the pickleball paddle I've had my eye on is back in stock.
Yes.
I have not purchased it yet. Oh. Why? Because I stink at pickleball. Got my ass handed to me yesterday.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, my God. So bad. Anyway, Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're selling scented soap or peddling pickleball paddles. How's that for alliteration?
Nice one.
Thank you. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen's, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. By the way, did you know Shopify is Canadian?
No.
I did not know that.
I did not know that.
Headquarters in Ottawa.
Wow.
Homer. Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/nodunks, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/nodunks now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify.com/NoDucks.
All right, we're going to look ahead at tonight's three NBA playoff games. But before that, my man Lili's got Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter.
Yeah, so I've got a couple of tweets. There was quite a bit floating around there last night on the Twitter machine.
Good night on Twitter.
It was a really good night.
Yeah, you're okay with Twitter still? Even though the Musk man?
No. Honestly, if
you're done.
Nothing is worth $44 billion or whatever he paid. Nothing.
If someone says,
buy the classic factory. Yeah.
If he's paying $44 billion for Twitter, I'm going to sell him some of my stuff because he's going to pay through the roof for it. I mean, honestly, who was offering $43 billion? I don't get it. Stuff. Anyway,
who was offering 43 billion?
I mean, the people on Twitter were just like,
oh. Does it go to a live auction?
It was like Homer Simpson at Twitter headquarters. Sell, sell, sell. Yeah, take it, take it. Yeah. Anyway, so the first tweet comes in from Kevin Pelton. Pretty simple tweet to start with.
Yeah, sure.
With a combined margin of 18 points, Celtics-Nets is the third closest four-game sweep in NBA history.
Wow.
Trailing Warriors Bullets in the 75 NBA Finals and Cavaliers Pacers in the 2017 first round, both 16.
Oh, maybe I could have included that one on a surprising. I took a look at it, that Cavs Pacers one, but
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, but then longtime net suffering fan, real deal, deal. Nice. Hang it in the rafters. The third closest sweep all time. I love Real Deal Neil. He's been a longtime fan of our show, supporter of our show, Tweet of the Week Army member, of course.
Yep.
Man, it was tough seeing him in the playoffs here. His Nets had a somewhat okay season, but he just wasn't feeling it in the playoffs. Mm. So I thought he tweeted that well there last night.
No Photoshop like they always do for the Knicks.
Exactly, yeah, the banner
with the
there.
Banner.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. But I'm not done because I've got another tweet that was tweeted yesterday, but it's actually from Saturday night's game, and it's Mary J. Blige, courtside.
Yeah.
Now, look, I love standing room only. I didn't know we were allowed to BYOB to a game in a great bag with our own initials on it like
that.
Yeah,
that's cool.
So her and her friend Missa Hilton there, they just decided, oh, yeah, I'm just going to bring my own bottle of wine there and uncork it during the game and have some.
Who's going to tell her no?
Exactly.
You're Mary J. Blige.
Nobody.
Yeah.
Nobody. So, yeah, and the tweet there came from Stephen Burton, just the wine in the bag. I mean, I'm just fascinated how this one came about. Does she walk in and they just like, oh, we've got to, you know, put everything through security, bottle of wine there. Like, you can't really take your own. You're Mary J. Blige. Nah. Yeah, go on.
Yeah.
Could she conceivably have gotten that from a club, you know, like a club
yeah,
level
possible.
Sort of thing? Because they do have glasses. Maybe she's just like, I'll just take the whole bottle so I don't have to keep coming back here. No drama. No drama.
I didn't see her courtside just pop it and start pouring over. That would have been ultimate baller move, you know?
Can't believe you didn't say Mary J. Blige was really in her bag.
Even the best ones miss sometimes, you know?
So. It's the obvious one. It's
exactly.
All right. Great tweets there. Nice to see Twitter still coming through.
Yeah, yeah. While we've still got it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Tonight's NBA playoff games, Hawks, Heat, ka-ka! That one's on NBA TV. 7 o'clock start there in Miami as the Heat will try and close out that series. And then we've got two spicy games on TNT. And I say spicy because these are pivotal.
Oh, yeah.
Pivotal game fives, both series, Wolves, Grizz, Pelican Sun, tied at 2 games apiece. So my question is... one, are these pivotal games, which I'm hoping you would agree with? And who is there an upset here for the road team in either of these, Minnesota going into Memphis or New Orleans going into Phoenix?
Last night I picked all road teams to win, got 2 out of 3. I think all home teams are going to win it tonight. So the Hawks don't really inspire me. Don't think that one's going anywhere. Certainly Minnesota, like, this is still a weird series. Not quite sure which way it's going to go.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel the Suns really have to get one at home here tonight because they can't afford to go to New Orleans the way the Pelicans have been playing and have to win to stay alive as a number one seed. So I think you're going to see a better performance from Phoenix, especially Chris Paul.
Okay. Yeah, that's a huge one. What are your thoughts or things to watch for in any of these three games tonight? Where's this going?
Different levels of interest in all three of these. Okay. For the Hawks, I just want to see them play harder and play better. They got smacked by Miami. Obviously, you went to a great game 3 down here in Atlanta. We need to see more of the game 3 Hawks tonight. At least don't go out. If you're going to lose in a 4-1, at least make it a competitive 4-1 there at the end. I'm just going to enjoy Memphis versus Minnesota. I don't ever feel like I know which way this series is going.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows which star is going to have the awesome game, but it's cool when Towns is the best player. It's cool when Morant's the best player. Anthony Edwards, D'Angelo Russell, Desmond Bane, take your choice. That one's just fun. And I am a little interested to see what's going on with Chris Paul because there were some weird reports about his hand being damaged during halftime of that game. He only took 8 shots in game 4, scored 4 points. He did have 11 assists because the guy's a maestro out there. But they need him to be a little bit of a scorer as well if Booker's going to be missing time. So Pelicans have been clicking. They've been playing really important games for an extra week. And, I mean, I guess you could say they've been playing more important games than the Suns did even during the stretch of the regular season. So I'd like to see Chris Paul go out there and have a, you know, a 30-point, 15-assist kind of game, or at the very least, some Chris Paul fourth-quarter takeover moments.
Mm. Yes, very intrigued by that last game. I want to see, can anybody slow Brandon Ingram right now? Mm-hmm. This guy is in a zone, and what's the Suns' answer to try and, like, get him out of his rhythm? Because this guy's cooking.
He's great.
Right now. I mean, if you're doing the list of, like, MVPs from the first round of the playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
Ingram's going to be very, very high on that list. You know, Tatum coming to mind, Jimmy Butler coming to mind, but Ingram right there in the mix. So that one's going to be awesome. The 10 o'clock start. Get your espressos in you, okay? Mm. That one, you got to stay up and watch that one. I think something special is happening in that game.
I hope so. I mean, it is a fascinating series. It's great.
Yeah.
So, yeah, looking forward to it.
All right, we'll call it there. We'll be back here live at 10 a.m. Eastern. Yeah, right.
10:12.
That's the plan. 10 a.m. Eastern. Had some YouTube hiccups there this morning. Hopefully things will go a little smoother tomorrow. Later today, though, and I mean in like 90 minutes or so, 1 p.m. Eastern, no breaks. It's got its own YouTube feed, its own podcast feed. TK and Graydon talking about the race in Italy over the last weekend and probably looking ahead to what? Miami is the next one on the docket. Is that right?
Yeah, May 6th through 8th.
Oh, my
Miami.
Goodness.
So we'll take a week off.
I saw, maybe was it Tim Reynolds? He's a Miami guy, mm-hmm. if I have that correct. I think it was him saying it could line up here where Miami would have like one night there would be a Heat game because they're probably going to go through the next round. Then the next night there'd be a Panthers game, the hockey team. Yeah, I guess the Panthers are doing well in NHL hockey. Nice. And then it would, like, every other night they'd be playing, and then it would go right into the Miami race.
Mm. Road trip.
The F1. You want to go down?
Go stay in Miami for a week.
Yeah. We're going to need a hookup if we want to go to the F1 Miami race. Yeah. It's very expensive. My wife already looked into it. No, we're not doing that. That's way too much money.
Well, Skeets, we got 3 super chats during this show. So, I mean, we're already, you know, I think $7.50 of the way there.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Keep them coming. Keep them coming. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you for the super chats. Yeah. I didn't even know we were doing that during these morning shows.
You never know.
Yeah. Email in your NBA questions to nodunks@theathletic.com. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok @NoDunksInc, and grab yourself an athletic subscription. Go to theathletic.com/NoDunks. All right. Are you going to play the role of Tassie today with some wise words? Okay, great. Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, Lee, you talked a lot about pesto. Did you know there's such a thing called pistu? I got it from a Green Chef myself. It's basically pesto, but a little bit different, a little bit more tangy, and very delicious.
Brace the day, people. Damn.